Thank you. series on giving in the church. I was brought this vision by the fact that the Lord will provide. Anybody know that the Lord will provide? Now, you might just say that because, you know, you're just being, you know, trying to appease me, make me feel good. But I want to know, do you know that the Lord will provide? When you're down to your last crumb, down to your last dime, some of y'all probably have, you know, not been there yet, but when you down to your last, even sitting in a doctor's office and you don't hear what you want to hear, the Lord will provide. Right? The Lord will take care of you. And so with that thought in mind, I wanted to reinitiate some sermons and teachings in this short series on tithing and giving. It's no secret that we do have a small congregation, but when everybody's here, I like to try to edify everybody and educate everybody on what God requires of us as Christians and what is required of us to take care of His house. The scripture tells us that we should take care of the bride of Christ because the groom is coming. Huh? And when the wedding feast is about to begin, He wants to come to a bride that does not have a spot or a wrinkle. Huh? That's why the brides wear the white dresses in the weddings, am I right? You know, because they're clean and without spots and wrinkles. So we want to be reminded of how we are supposed to take care of God's house, or God's bride, if you will. So I want to begin this series. And I know there's folk are not here, but that's why it's important for you if you brought your pencils and your paper and your pens, as I have been encouraging you to do, and your Bible. I know this is the 21st century. Everybody got their Bible on their phone and, you know, and just go ahead and just whip it up. But then sometimes you, in the course of looking up a scripture, you may be tempted to check, you know, what's going on Facebook or something. Huh? Find out what other folk is doing that ain't in church. Or they may be in church and they texting you. Huh? Well, if you got to text somebody, make sure you text them and tell them what I'm telling you. Amen? Amen. You know, let them know the pastor just said. All right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all of these things will be added unto you. Okay? That's what Pastor just said. Stay tuned. I got some more news for you. Huh? Amen. 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 So please, if you have your pencils and your papers, if you brought your Bibles and or whatever you can use, I want you to join me in the book of Exodus as we begin this series on giving and tithing. Amen. In the book of Exodus, in the 25th chapter. Amen. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I had forgot I had put this dollar in my Bible. It's my bookmark. You know, and it also reminds me, somewhere on here it says that in God we trust. Huh? Yes.
I know.
I got somebody looking over my shoulder here. Exodus chapter 25. Amen. And I have to be careful how I conduct myself because I don't want to be a bad example for my associate minister. Amen. Amen. Exodus chapter 25, beginning at verse number 1. When you're all there, just say amen.
Amen.
And the Lord spake, and I'm reading from the King James Version, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart. And if you got your pen or pencil or your highlighter, you can highlight that, underline that statement right there. Giveth it willingly with his heart. Ye shall take my offering. And this is the offering which ye shall take of them: gold and silver and brass, and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair, and ram's skins dyed red, and badger skins, and shittim wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense. Onyx stones, and stones to be set in the ephod, in the breastplate. And finally, in verse number 8, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. And the church said, amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. want to use as a topic for today, or subject for today, if you please, understanding God's offering. Understanding God's offering. We look every day at things that are going on around us, and now we got testimony that God have allowed us to get things done on this building and hopefully in this building that we weren't able to do on our own. The Bible teaches us that God never changes. Huh? The way He always has been is the way that He always will be. God never changes. So we must also understand that He requires of us, that what He requires of us will never change as well. Huh? See, as we look around our world and our society, we can see that it is constantly undergoing changes. What's good today ain't gonna be good tomorrow. Those that were rushing over to the Apple store on Friday to get them a watch, that watch is gonna be obsolete by Monday if it ain't already obsolete. All right. So I've been advised to wait until they do the upgrade before I try to put one in layaway. That's the only way I'm going to be able to get one. Now, even in the church, my brothers and my sisters, generally speaking, that is, we try to do some things in our efforts to make things better. Huh? However, what we try to do is not necessarily in line with God's will. For example, I can recall reading about a church in Louisiana where there was no real requirements for the members to tithe, but everybody was required to pay dues on a monthly basis. Huh? And so it was a process that was established by the church to ensure that they would be able to meet their monthly financial needs of the church. Huh? See, your age and status in the home determine just how much you're required to pay in your due. And I don't know if there's anybody here out looking for Sister Strada. I know she's from Louisiana. She can probably relate. But if by chance you did not pay your dues in 90 days or within a 90-day period, then you are required to go before the church during the invitation period and beg the church's pardon. Because you didn't pay your dues. In other words, ask the church for forgiveness because you were delinquent in giving your dues. Now, we are members of the Antioch Baptist Church, and we know that every Sunday we want to give what is required of us. And for a long time, and I always keep it down on the board, that if you don't know how to tithe or how much to tithe, all you got to do is look at the chart down there, you know, and you can tell or find out what it is you need to give. You know, and in the Old Testament, they said to bring a tenth to the storehouse, right? Your first fruits, one tenth. So that means a dime out of every dollar that you earn, right? You know, you got a job and you don't have a job. However you get your money, you got it from God. All right? And so all he's asking for is a dime out of every dollar you've got. Amen. So is there somebody that's going to tell me that God's not worth a dime? Mm-hmm. Huh? We can't give him 10 cents? You know, he done gave us more than we'll ever get. Mm-hmm. Huh? Yeah. Huh? So think about that. And that's my purpose, is to stir you up. Huh? Not stir you up in a way to where you want to run me out of here, but to stir you up in a way to where you want to be in line with God's will. Help me, somebody. See, there are times when the church has tried to raise large sums of money by doing things differently than the way God intended for us to do. Huh? Here's another example. Every church have a building fund. We got a building fund. Huh? And this fund is intended to help pay for a new building, or it could be used to remodel or upgrade current parts of our buildings or buildings. And I've seen churches, and we even done it when I first got here. We tried everything, you know, except sell the chicken dinner. I refused to go there with that. No, no. But we had rubber sales, and all the proceeds that we would get would go to the building fund. I've seen churches have big barbecues, you know, and sold chicken in real plates, and all the proceeds would go to the church finance, God's programs in the church. But whenever God was ready to do something with his people, he always let them know what the people's requirement was.
Yes.
Huh? When God wanted something done, he would tell you how he wanted it done.
Yes.
See, but sometimes, you know, with our little finite minds, we are trying to figure out ways, you know, to get it done better. But you can't do better than God.
That's right.
And here's a sidebar for you. God don't need your help.
That's right. All right.
And God would let them know what he was going to do as a result of their obedience. Huh? You see, I said earlier that God don't change.
True.
And the way he goes about things and the principles behind them don't change either. Huh? We sometimes think that because time changed and people changed, that we also have to change how we deal with God. Unless God says to do something differently, we should not change what his requirement of us is. See, when God says, let's do this, it's already a done deal. We just have to agree with God and do our part. Is anybody with me? It just got too quiet.
Amen.
That's a funny thing about black churches. When you start talking about money, you know, attitudes change. You know, perceptions begin to come to question. Huh? Oh, sure. See, but if I start talking about something else, you know, like, hey, I think that Chicago Bulls might have a chance. Well, it's okay. About, yeah, you know, Rose is back in the game now. But we're talking about God. We're talking about his requirement for giving.
Yes, yes.
That's all. Huh? And so, and what you do with this message is up to you. Huh? I'm not talking about anyone. I'm talking to everyone. When God said, let's do this, it's a done deal. So we just have to find out what God wants us to do. Huh? So as a church, we've been talking about possessing the land. So for about 8 years, you know, we wanted to try to, you know, expand. You know, I've always thought about that. That house has been sitting next door for so long. You know, how can we acquire that property over there, you know, and turn it into a parking lot? Because we need more space.
All right.
Huh? We try to take care of what we have out here, but the community just celebrates by parking their cars over there and working on their cars and doing all kinds of stuff. And if you get in the way to try to explain to them that the sign says you'll be towed away, they look at you like you're trying to start something. That's like me parking in your driveway without your permission and thinking it's all right. And dare you to say something about it. Huh? So think about this. I'm believing in God. And I want you all to believe in God. The members of Antioch, the friends of Antioch, I want you to believe in God with me for an increase that he has for us through his word. Because in 2015, we're going to do something.
All right.
We're just not going to talk about it, but we're going to pray that God will bring the vision to fruition. That he's going to make it a reality. All right? So we need to think about this, that God's direction is clear. His purpose is clear, and with us doing our part, his increase will also be clear. So we want to just talk for a little while about understanding God's offering. Understanding God's offering. Do I have any help in here today?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. When you look in this text right here, in this book of Exodus, in this 25th chapter, God begins to deal with Moses concerning the sanctuary that God wants built. Huh? And you do understand that the children of Israel had been released from bondage and were now in their wilderness wanderings. You remember they were in the wilderness for 40 years and they really didn't go nowhere. They were just going around in circles. But interestingly enough, that while they were in the wilderness, God took care of them. He fed them with manna from heaven. Their shoes didn't wear out, their clothes didn't get ragged. You know, the only thing they needed to do was to be obedient. You know, and they would be obedient when they needed something. Huh? You ever notice that? Your kids, how good they are when they want something? And then when they get the popcorn or whatever they want, it won't be long and they'll be right back at what they were doing. Right? See, so they embark on a journey to what we know in the story, in the Bible, as the promised land, but have had to deal with a number of obstacles along the way. And it was God that blessed them to make it through the Red Sea. Y'all remember the big story that was on TV not long ago. Huh? And it was God that blessed them, as I said, with the manna. It was God that blessed them with quail when the manna wasn't enough for them. You see, it was God that made sure that their clothes always looked clean and fresh while they were in the wilderness. And it was God who had already shown them how able he was to provide for all of their needs.
Yes.
Now he wants to show them an even greater things regarding their giving. Huh? So I want to look at three things concerning God's offering. Amen? So, and I want you to understand God's offering. When you look at verse number 2, your giving is to God. Huh? You see, as we look at this particular text, we find God talking to Moses and giving him instructions for the children of Israel. You see, God was getting ready to do something with them and wanted to get them involved in the process. Huh? Don't you feel better when you contribute to the process? Huh? Some folks would rather just sit on the sideline and talk about those that are involved in the process rather than getting involved themselves. Huh? See, and God was ready to do something and wanted to get them involved. And I read where Dr. Henry Blackaby, he said that God wants to work through us to get his work done.
That's right.
That's right.
Huh?
Amen.
He wants to use us to get his work done.
Amen.
Huh? Just like when you get saved and you learn more about God, your job is to share the word, share the good news.
That's right. Yeah.
Everybody don't have to be a preacher to share the good news. Huh? If you got a testimony, you got to be willing to share that. Huh? This text is a classic example of what God wanted to do with do things through his people. Look, God says here that for the people to bring him an offering. Huh? See, so the text says, speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering. It's right there in the text. So I'd like to make something perfectly clear right here at this point, is that the offering that God requires is not an offering to the pastor. It's not an offering to the trustee. It's not an offering to the deacons or anybody else. This is God's offering. You see, too many times we buy into the line, the false accusation that, you know, all the pastor and the church won't get my money. Huh? And so you react by just putting $1 in your basket. And you ball that up. Huh? Huh? Suffocate Washington and drop him in there, right? Huh? I say, I'm not talking about nobody. I told you that already, right? I'm talking to y'all. Huh? You see, the last time I checked, and that has not changed, my friends, is that money doesn't belong to us. That all belongs to God.
Yeah.
Huh? The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So you can believe it or not believe it, the one who creates something is actually the owner of the thing that's been created. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Look, the king, in David, he said in Psalms 24 and verse number 1, said the earth is the Lord. And the fullness thereof, and the world, and they that dwell in it, or therein. Huh? Sometimes the mindset is, when I give it, I'm not sure what they're going to do with it. Well, I tell you what, I'm sure that we ain't going to do very much with a dollar. I'm pretty sure $1 ain't going to do very much for anything around me. Huh? So just think about that. Huh? So when we listen, see, God is requiring for us to bring it to him. Huh? So the church is the visible medium in which he uses to receive the offering. And as long as you do it God's way, that's all that matters.
That's right.
Huh? You're not paying my car note, you're not paying my house note. That's all covered. I got that covered. God had that covered way back when. Huh? That's right. So I'm not worried about none of that. So when you think about that, you know, what the church does with the money that you give after you have brought it to God is between the church and God. Huh? I mean, when you see visible improvements, you know, you shouldn't even have to ask any questions. Huh? You shouldn't have to ask a question at all. What y'all doing with the money? Well, and I know y'all need to pray for me, because if you ask me what I'm doing with your dollar, I'm going to tell you. Amen? So don't get me in the corner and try to confront me about your dollar, okay? But our requirement is this, very simple. As I told you, and I got more information, more lessons, more sermons on the same topic, the same subject. So this is just the beginning. Amen? So the requirement is for us is to bring it to God and let God do the rest. That's all we got to do. Alright? See, and if you worry so much about what we're going to do with your dollar, my advice to you is to keep your dollar. Put it back in your pocket. Don't worry about it. Just come and try to get what the word has for you. But I guarantee you this, that if you come here long enough, sooner or later, the word is going to start to indwell in your heart. The Lord is going to touch you. And then your eyes are going to be open. You'll be like that blind man said, I once was blind, but now I see. Now I get it. Praise the Lord. Huh?
Amen.
It's not rocket science. Huh? So the second thing I want to share with you, and that's still in verse number 2, is that your giving must be from your heart. You remember when I said to underline that statement? Huh? In verse number 2? You know where it said, giveth it willingly with his heart. Did you see that? Huh? So it's got to be from your heart. So the direction that God gave was for us to bring him an offering. Am I right? Then he goes on to say how we should give it to him. Listen, the word willingly here, it comes from the Hebrew word and is defined as to present spontaneously or to freely offer. Huh? Nobody's twisting your arm. Nobody's begging you. God has commanded you. And if you are in line with the command of God, it's going to be so much more pleasant. Huh? You see, therefore, our giving to God should always be done willingly, not begrudgingly. Huh? With a heart that shows God just how much we appreciate all that he's done. Am I going to get some help in here? I don't know. As I said, you know, when you start talking about money in the black church, you know, things just change. You know, I see the faces, you know, change. You know, what's he up to? What are you trying to do? Listen, I would dare say that when God blesses us with what he has for us, he's not doing it unwillingly. He's not doing it under any kind of duress. But he's doing it because it pleases him to bless us. You do want to be blessed by God, am I right? Huh? See, and God is happy when he can bless those that's in line with his will. Huh? And the way you're going to find out what his will is, you got to get in the word. Huh? You got to open up the book and find out what's he talking about. Because everything, as I said before, this is the mind of God. Everything that he had on his mind that he wants us to know is in here. It was given to us by divinely inspired writer. Right? Who wrote down what God told him to write down. Right? So when you think about that, we should never give to God by any kind of coercion. I know some places folk want to try to make you give a certain amount, you know, and that's not how it works. I'm never going to ask you for $65 million for an airplane, okay? I don't think so. But somebody ought to know that if we understand what God is saying here, you know, in this passage of scripture, that our giving should be with a purpose of obeying him. Huh? And in the manner that he desires, huh? We have to give to God what he wants and how he wants to give. Very simple, right? We should have such a heart for God that our giving flows from our heart. Huh? That we're glad to give. Huh? God is glad to give to us. Why can't we be glad to give back to him? Huh? God give us a gift that we can never equal. Huh? See? Think about this. God tells us that if we seek him, We shall find him, and if we seek him with what? Our whole heart. Huh? Not haphazardly, you know, well, today is Tuesday, it's look for God day, so let me see if I can, you know, find him. Huh? You see, I should therefore give back to him with a willing heart. So you see, and if you look at what God is requiring them to bring in the text, you'll see that he's not looking for secondhand stuff. Huh? He's not looking for a secondhand offering from the Israelites. You know, he wants the very best that they have. Look at verse 3 through 7. You still got your Bibles open? You still got your phones on? Huh? I mean, you got the Bible on your phone still in front of you? See, look, verse 3 through 7. It talks about gold, silver, brass, fine linen, ram skins, bear skins, badger skins, onyx stones. But let's consider the fact that the children of Israel had recently been released from over 400 years of captivity, 400 years of slavery. Am I right? See, and somebody would ask, well, where did they get all that stuff from? You know, the gold and the silver and all that. Well, let's see. Think about this. God provided all of the things to the children of Israel even before they left slavery. Huh? They had stuff before they even left. Because you remember that the Egyptians were getting mad because the Israelites was like spreading all over the place. There was getting to be too many of them. Huh? They were just taking up their parking places and doing everything. Huh? They were living good now. Huh? They working good money, making good money in them brick factories and everything. They just coming along. But as God had commissioned Moses for his assignment as a deliverer, you see, he also prepared the people for their journey. He got them ready to go. Matter of fact, if you look at the 22nd verse of the 3rd chapter, God said, but every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and her that sojourneth in her house jewels of silver and jewels of gold and remnant, and ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. See, can we see here in that statement that God operates the same way for us? Huh? You see, he gives us what we need to bring to him. Y'all got jobs, you got some kind of income. God has made it possible for you to have those jobs, to have them incomes, so that when you come to the storehouse, to the church, you can bring an offering to him. So that's like your parents giving you money so you can go buy their gifts to bring to you. Huh? You see, we just have to willingly bring it the way that he wants it brought. Huh? Sometimes we get hard-headed. We don't want to do things God's way. We try to do it our way, and it just don't seem to work. Huh? And we want to be blessed by God. What if God gave you what you gave him? Huh? Well, the third thing I want to point out to you as we hastily move to a close is that your offering will yield some heavenly results. Your offering will yield heavenly results. Look with me at verse number 8. That's the reason why God wanted them to bring him specific things for the offering. You see, it was God's desire to dwell with the children of Israel in the sanctuary. Huh? We know that the sanctuary is a holy place. Am I right? This church, this is a holy place. Right? And we ought to treat it like a holy place. You know, not throw paper on the floor and leave gum on the seat. You know, all these kind of things, you know, help keep the place clean. Amen? This is a holy place. See, it was God's desire to dwell among the people in the sanctuary. And so the preacher's outline commentary says that the word sanctuary means a holy place, a hallowed place, a place sanctified or set apart. Now, we all sanctify. Am I right? Huh? When I was growing up and didn't understand the word sanctified, I thought it was those folks that wore, you know, dresses down to the floor and, you know, looked plain in the face and, you know, they started hollering and screaming and running all over the place. Oh, yeah, it's them sanctified folk. Huh? But then when I came into the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you know, then my eyes was open. Sanctified means set apart. The scripture says that you should come out from among them. Huh? Be in the world, but what? Not. Amen. Y'all in there. That's right. So sanctuary is a place where God wanted the tabernacle to be a holy, hallowed place, a place sanctified, a set apart for God. You see, a place looked upon as being where God will dwell in a very special way. A place where God will live in a special way among his people. You see, it's a place where God will meet the people and the people will meet God.
Yeah.
If you don't meet God when you come to church here at Antioch or any other church, maybe you're not looking for God. You come in here looking to meet somebody else other than God. But this is a place where the people worship God. A place that they can receive forgiveness of God and commit their lives to God.
Yes.
Now, concerning the children of Israel, listen, God wanted a place to dwell with them. Huh? So this be the place in which the children of Israel were building according to God's specification. Huh? You see, he wanted them to bring the offering to be used for his sanctuary. He promised them that if they brought it the way he said it, that he would dwell with them.
Yes.
Now, that was concerning Israel. Now, concerning us right now, here today, the place God wants to dwell is inside of us.
Right.
You see, Paul said in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2 that we should present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. How awesome is that to know that of all the places in the universe that God wants to dwell inside of us?
Yes, yes,
huh?
Yes.
What a statement to make that God lives in me.
Yes,
huh?
Yes.
You see, Paul reminded us again in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17. He said, "Know ye that ye are the temple of God,
yes,
and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you." Huh? If any man defile the temple, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple are ye? Huh? As I venture now to close, I want us to understand the offerings of God. And that God have been good to us. That we should want to willingly give back to him. He's been better to us than we've been to ourselves. If you really take the time, my brothers and my sisters, to look, you will discover that God is the premier giver. And have provided us the example that is necessary for us to follow.
Yes.
Some folk are stingy when it comes to giving back to God.
Yes.
But I'm so glad that God had never been stingy when it comes to giving to us.
Yes.
For you see, God even said in that 84th number of Psalm, somewhere around that 11th verse, "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield.
Yeah.
The Lord God will give grace and glory.
Yeah.
No good thing will he withhold from them who walk uprightly."
Yeah.
Yes, my friend, I've discovered that there in the Old Testament, he gives us life. In the New Testament, he gives us eternal life through our Lord Jesus the Christ. Yes, when animal sacrifice says no longer word, he gave us the Lamb of God, which was slain before the foundation of the world. Well, 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 when the Lamb of God got in place, he told them, "You can't take my life." Matter of fact, he said, "No man take my life, but I lay down of myself." Ain't God all right?
Yes.
That means that he gave it a life freely for us. In John 3:16, the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever, and you know God desires that none should be lost, and said whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yes, my friend, God got some requirements for us, and we ought to get in line with the word of God. He requires us to give. Yes, he does. But he already gave the best that heaven had to offer. And God, all right, in the person of his son, Jesus. Jesus the cross. Matter of fact, Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, somewhere over in the 38th verse, give and it shall be given unto you. And in the fullness of time, yes, Lord, we know for a fact that Jesus was our example. He was the master teacher. Ain't that all right? He wanted to let us know that if you seek the Lord, why he may yet be found. Ain't that all right? He wanted to